It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Ricks. With Live the Life in Jacksonville, Florida, a Jacksonville-based initiative to strengthen marriages and families across the Northeast Florida region. Real Talk is where we have real talk with me about real issues and provide real solutions that make a difference, that will make a difference in your life. If you have a question or a comment, be sure to contact us at realtalk@livethelife.org. That's realtalk@livethelife.org. Today, we're going to continue our journey looking at the issue of trust. Trust. Last week, we talked about the idea of clarity, that people trust the clear and they distrust the ambiguous. And when you are not clear about who you are, your expectations, those kind of things, you're not going to have trust. Today, we're going to cover two more pillars of trust. We're going to look at character, and then we're going to look at competency. Character and competency. People trust people that they can depend on, people of character, and people trust those they can believe in who can accomplish things, i.e., people trust those that are competent. So we're going to talk about the first pillar here, the first real strong pillar next to clarity, which is character. People trust those with character. Matthew 7:17 says, "So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the distressed tree bears bad fruit." You see, folks, whatever you produce in your life is fruit. And if your fruit is evidence that you lack character, you're going to get more of the same. If the fruit of your life shows that you're a person of character, you're going to draw in the same. We will reap what we sow. John 8:44 said it this way. It says, "You are of your father, the devil." Why? Because it was his character. "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies." Romans 5:4 says, "Endurance produces character, and character produces hope." There cannot be hope with a person who lacks character. Character comes out of endurance, and that character produces a sense of hope in us. 2 Timothy 3:4, listen to these adjectives: treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That was somebody's character. That was somebody's character. How would you like to be known as someone like that? You know, what I've noticed today in culture today, though, is that culture today doesn't value character. We value charisma. And there's a big difference in the two. We pursue people who are charismatic, but we don't value people of character because character doesn't mean much. We see this in political parties. We see this in the church. We follow great-sounding preachers who lack character. Folks, you could be in a leadership position but have no character. And we would argue in our world that if you're in a leadership position but you lacked character, you're not a real leader. You're just a person in authority. There's a difference between being a person in authority and a person who has character. You see, we value charisma. We're looking for that person that makes us feel good about ourselves. That's a great speaker, a great entertainer, or whatever. You know, three words are all alliterated in a good conclusion. You know, they can tell you Hebrew and Greek. But in the end, it isn't how well you preach, what your charisma's like. It's really the character of the person that you are. So let's have a conversation real quickly here about character and charisma. We're going to start with charisma. Charisma comes from a Greek word that means a person has the ability to elicit favor from another person. That they have the ability to elicit favor from another person. It's like a person with a magnetic personality. They go, "He's a really charismatic person. She's a really charismatic person." You're drawn to them. Okay, the problem with that is that charisma needs other people. In other words, in order for a person to be charismatic, you have to have other people around you, because it's the other people who assign you as being charismatic, all right? And so charisma requires everyone else to, it requires other people to be around you. Character, though, comes from a Greek word meaning to chisel, to chisel. It refers to the mark left by a chisel. Have you ever been chiseled in life? I have been. Had to go through a lot of chiseling in my own life, healing from a father wound, from early messages in my life that I wasn't valued, that I wasn't good enough. There was a lot of chiseling God had to do with me. And I'm glad that I went through those chiseling processes, because it produces in me a person of better character. You see, character comes from the Greek word meaning to chisel. A person who's charismatic may have never been chiseled, because again, charisma is about emotion. It's about how you feel. It's about me getting you to like me and being a charismatic person so you can like me. Character needs nobody else. Character needs no one else around you. Character is only about you. Because where charisma needs others, character is in private what it is in public. Because it's who you are. It's who you are. And so, sadly, we don't value people of character. But I promise you, trust requires people of character. You don't trust people who lack character. And it's amazing to me that we have had political leaders and church leaders who have done some pretty shady things or unhealthy things or immoral things, and we still trust them. Why? Because we are not trusting character, we're trusting charisma. And as long as you're still charismatic and make me feel good, then we give them trust. That is a very poor way to trust people, folks. It is bait. You trust character. You trust character. If a person says and does what he says he's going to do, if a person has values and morals and ethics that play out repeatedly in private and in public, that's a person to trust, because we trust people of character. So what are some ways to develop character in your life? You know, what are some, if I can say it this way, what are some pillars of character that you can address? I pull these from the work of Jim Rohn, one of the leaders in the personal development field. So let me go through a few of these. Number one is courage. People of character are courageous people. This is the ability to challenge one's fears and still act. People of courage, people of character, they recognize they may be afraid of something, but they don't give into the fear. They use the fear as leverage to make decisions. They act. They operate in courage. Courage is different than charisma, we said earlier. Charisma is how I act in front of another person. It makes me feel good that you like me. Where courage is making tough choices. Courage is about making tough choices. Even when I'm afraid, and I act on those choices, even if others don't agree with me. Even if others don't agree with me. Courage, people of character sometimes will stand alone because they're people of character. So one of the things you can do to develop character is become a courageous individual. Number two, people of character, not only are courageous, but they're actually people who are honest. They live in clarity. They're honest about who they are. They're honest with you and what they say. And there's integrity. Lying, telling white lies are all character issues. Integrity is a hallmark of people with great character. Integrity builds trust in you. See, one of the reasons that the culture doesn't trust the church today is because the church has not earned its trust, because it's been dishonest and it's lacked integrity. It says one thing but does another. We say we love Jesus, but then we throw our marriages away. We say we love all people, but then we disagree with them and then treat them harshly because they believe in predestination or we don't. Or they like this type of counseling and we don't. And the next thing is all this infighting that goes on, and we're mistreating each other. And because we agree to disagree, folks, but because there's no integrity in saying we love the Lord and we love you and then we treat you in unloving ways, you lack integrity. And you lack integrity, you lack character. Real simple. It's not difficult, all right? And so in our world, we like to define character and integrity as you doing what you say you're going to do on a regular basis. in public and in private. That's a person that has integrity. And here's the other thing. Where there's integrity, there's also credibility. If you say one thing but do another, you have zero credibility to speak into people's lives. Why? Because they know that you lack character. Why? You say one thing and do another, you don't have the right to teach me about that. You may not like that, folks, but it doesn't matter. You don't let people teach you who don't live it themselves. Number three pillar of character is perseverance. We trust the people who persevere, who hang in there, who will not walk away. That's why Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He perseveres. We see that perseverance is a trait. You see, we endure, and endurance produces character. Sadly, many people get up and walk out of your life, but he never will. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why God is a person of great character and can be trusted. Why? I won't leave you. I will not forsake you. I am here for you no matter what. Another trait is flexibility. People of character are flexible. They recognize things have to change. I have to change. I'm open to new learnings. You see, so people of character are flexible. People of character possess wisdom, not knowledge, but wisdom. You can be a very wise person and not know a lot. You can know a lot and have zero wisdom, okay? And wisdom is a hallmark of people of great character. And two more traits that I'm thinking of is that people of great character are people of patience. They're patient people. And lastly, people of great character are confident. They're confident. And even though in the midst of their fears and insecurities, they act anyways because they trust their gut, you see. They do the research. They do the things they need to do, and they make the hard decisions. People of great character will do that. And we trust the people of great character. And as I said earlier, sadly, we tend to not trust people of character today. We tend to trust people with great charisma. We're looking for charismatic leaders, and a charismatic person does not necessarily mean they're a person of character. I can think of a lot of political leaders and even religious leaders who have proven that. And yet we still follow them. We support them. We defend them. Why? Because the culture is looking for charismatic leaders. We don't value character anymore. Just charisma. And so if you want to be a person that has trust, become a person of great character. Now, we're going to talk about another pillar of people who have trust, and that means people who are trustworthy and can be trusted are people who are competent. Competent. You do not trust people that do not have competency. Think about it. Let's say you have a wisdom tooth that's pretty bad, and it gets to a point where you need to go see somebody. So you call me up, and you say, hey, Rick, listen, I got a really bad wisdom tooth, got a crack. I need to remove. I really need some help. And I go, hey, lay down here on the couch. I'll pull it out for you. Question, would you trust me to remove your wisdom tooth? And if you're honest about it, you'd say, no way. Exactly. You don't trust people who are not competent. You would not trust me to pull out your wisdom tooth. You go find the people who have the competency to pull out wisdom teeth, you see? And so there's a lot of people today who aren't competent, and yet we trust them anyways. I'm like, wait a minute, you don't trust people that are not competent, you see? So listen to this. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. In other words, our competency comes from God. But I'm sure, and knowing, you'll see in other areas around Scripture, that each of the apostles knew what their weaknesses were, and they knew where they are competent and not competent, all right? Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will. That means you've got to be competent, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. In other words, you've got to be competent in handling the word of truth. But folks, listen, you don't go to people who aren't competent. If you want a plumber, you do not come to me. I promise you, I promise you one thing. If you come get me to do your plumbing, I will cost you more money, and then you're going to go find a friend of mine named Mike, and Mike's plumbing company will come help you, okay? Because he's competent. I know. I used him for years. He's competent. I'm not, all right? And listen to this. People who admit that they have incompetencies are wise people. But people who are not willing to admit they lack competency or that they're incompetent, that's pride, and pride goes before destruction. Listen to a quote from Ben Franklin. He said here, "The only thing more expensive than education is ignorance." I like that phrase, a little quote. "The only thing more expensive than education is ignorance." If you came to me and said, "Hey, listen, I got an eating disorder. Don't come to me. Don't come. I am not competent in that area. My dealing with that is, let's go down to Burger King or Chick-fil-A and get a sandwich and eat, and we'll talk about it, right? I am not the guy to help you in that area. Why? I don't have the competencies in those areas, all right? If you come to me and say, "I've got a problem in this area," I'm not the guy. Why? I know what I'm competent in, and I know what I'm not competent in. I know the areas I could help you in, and I know the areas that I can't help you in. And because I'm fully aware of my strengths are and are not, I find the resources around me, and I send you to those people who are competent. Had a pastor here call me this past week who has a someone in their church who has an obsessive compulsive disorder, and it's a pretty bad one. And I said, "Look, I'm not the guy to help. I appreciate you thinking at me, but call Frank. This guy is head of the OCD Association. He's a strong Christian man and can help you. He has the competency to help you in that area," you see. And so I love my mom a lot. I trust my mom to do a lot of things. I don't trust my mom to fix my car. I don't trust her to repair the transmission or change oil. Why? My mom's not competent in those things, you see. I have a dear friend who's a wonderful pastor, but he's really not competent in shepherding. He's good at pastoring and ministering in church, but he's really not competent in pastoring. Why? He doesn't have compassion. He lacks it. You could argue all day that he may be immature in his faith, but in the end, that's not a competency for him. So if you want compassion, you go find a compassionate person, you see. He's a terrible counselor, but he's a good preacher. You got it? He doesn't have the knowledge and skills to be a counselor, but he has the knowledge and skills to be a teacher of the word, all right? So in order to become competent in something, you have to stay teachable, you have to seek out knowledge, and you can never be complacent in who you are and what you know. Let me say that again. In order to be competent, you've got to stay teachable, you have to be willing to seek out knowledge on a regular basis, and never be complacent. Never be complacent in who you are and what you know. Constantly learn, constantly grow, read a lot. The great people in their fields constantly learn. Listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. He said this, "I don't think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. I read 3-4 books a month regularly. I'm constantly learning, upgrading my knowledge. There's new teachings that come out regularly in my field and profession. Technology is advancing itself so fast. That's why I keep up to date." Why? Because I want to be competent. You see? I want to be competent. Why? Because when people come to me, I want them to know, the best of my ability, I have prepared myself on a regular basis to have the competency to help them. And when the areas that I don't, I'll send you to the people that do. But if you're a person that got a medical degree back in 1940, and you haven't been to a training and education program or anything in 60 years, you're not as competent as the young guys today. Why? Knowledge is advanced, new learnings, new techniques. Guess what? I go to those people. Why? They stay up to date. All right? And listen, I wrote this. No matter how many degrees you have or what certifications you possess, you've got to increase your competency regularly on a daily and regular basis. This is why licensed professionals have to have continuing education. Why? Because even the state recognizes you've got to stay competent. That means we need to ensure you're constantly learning, growing, maturing. Why? Because we want you to be competent. People can trust those that are competent. Number two, I wrote here, keep learning. Study to show yourselves approved. This is an ongoing, sustainable studying. What do you study? I mean, think about it. Other than the Word of God, what else do you study? For those of you in your work professions, do you continue to keep up and up to date on the areas of your work? Do you continue to learn? Or do all you do have is your little small realm of knowledge, and that's all you stay in, is your little realm of knowledge. Yet learning and knowledge keeps exploding around you. All right? Stay humble. Number three, stay humble. People who are prideful tend to not learn or grow. Learning only takes place in humility, because in humility I recognize I don't know everything, that I have incompetencies, but now I'm willing to learn those things, i.e. I'm teachable, so I can better myself, so I can be more competent, and thus be more trusting. Humble people understand they don't know everything, and they continue to learn and grow. And then, borrowing from the personal development world, I would tell you, develop a mastermind group. What is a mastermind group? Mastermind groups are different than accountability groups. I'm not a real big advocate of accountability groups for myself and I'll tell you why. A lot of guys lie in their accountability groups, okay? They do. And so a mastermind group is a little bit different. A mastermind group is when you put a group of people around you, not for accountability. You put them around you because they become the other parts of your brain that you don't have. Example, in my mastermind group, there's Paul Robertson. There's my brother Don. My wife is in my master group today. I could tell you that. Matthew Meadows is another one. You see, these are the people that if I'm struggling with something or working through something, I call them and I get their input. Why? Because I don't know everything. And they may be seeing something in me that I don't see. So the mastermind group are the people that you put around you that speak into you. They tell you the things that you don't need to hear, that you may not want to hear, but you need to hear. They're the other parts of your brain that you don't have that you go out and reach out for. So put a mastermind group around you. They hold you accountable, yes, but they provide insight into you. I remember a while back I had to enter into a crucial conversation with some folks, and I had a lot of fear about being disrespected, and I knew I was going to get triggered into it because they were already being disrespectful. And so I had to call my brother and have a conversation with him, and he asked me some questions about 3 hours before I engaged in this meeting. And the questions that he asked me actually freed me up from being triggered a few hours later when I had that meeting with that group, because the questions he asked me unlocked my brain. I went, you're right, Don. I don't even know why I'm thinking that way. And so it really helped me. That's the mastermind group, all right? And behind that, have a mentor, a discipler in your life, someone that you go to and seek to, and you want from them what you need in order to develop greater character and competencies in your life. We always don't know what the road ahead brings. Don't walk the road to find out. There's an old Chinese proverb that says this: to know the road ahead, ask those coming back. I love that. Listen to it. To know the road ahead, ask those coming back. There are people who've already walked a road that you can learn from, that these are the people who tell you, hey, you're walking down a road. Let me tell you what's going to happen if you continue this. These people are people that you can learn from and grow from, so you can avoid mistakes that other people have already made. But if you're the kind of person that wants to learn the hard way, feel free. But understand, you're going to lose trust along the way. I would strongly encourage you, get someone to mentor you or disciple you, to ask you the tough questions in life and to teach you, hey, been down this road. Here's where you're headed. Then that begs the question, are you teachable? All right. And then another point here is read to learn. Read to learn. If you want to continue to be a person who can be trusted, i.e. competent, because we trust the people who are competent, we don't trust those who aren't competent, we trust those who are fresh and up to date regularly, read to learn. John Maxwell, you know, the great teacher around leadership, had a quote that I really, really like. Here's what he said. He said, not all readers are leaders. Not all readers are leaders, but all leaders are readers. Did you get that? Just because you read doesn't mean you lead, but great leaders are readers. Why? Because they're constantly learning, they're growing, those kind of things. And so, like right now, if you ask me, Rick, what books are you reading? Well, number one, I'm reading Emotional Agility. I'm reading Ben Sasse's book, The Senator, on the Vanishing American Adult. I'm just finishing up one by Diane West, and I've just picked up one by Jonathan Peterson. You see, those are forming. And then I've got another book of a series of just fun books I'm reading that are kind of military espionage type things. Those are the ones I'm going through right now. All right. And I read books that are in print and I read books on Audible. So I'm constantly learning, updating my mind. You see, why? I want to be competent. I want to keep learning. Why? I don't want to be a person that comes to me. I don't want to be a person that comes. I don't want a person to come to me and find out, wow, he's really incompetent in this area of marriage ministry. He's really incompetent as a marriage therapist. Yeah. You imagine if I do marriage therapy and I help zero relationships? You could argue I get all the bad cases, or you could argue maybe it's me. Maybe there's something that I don't know that I need to learn and grow from. And then lastly, as I close here on Real Talk today, listen to what Mark Twain said. I just listen to this quote. Mark Twain put it this way. He said, the man who does not read books, the man who does not read books has no advantage over the man who cannot read them. I want to say that again. Let that sink in for a little bit. Mark Twain put it this way. The man who does not read books has no advantage over the man who cannot read them. And there's real truth in that. Just because you have the ability to read and choose not to makes you no different than the person who can't read. Neither of you are learning and neither of you are growing. If you want to be a person of trust, be a person of growing character. Character. And if you want to be a person that can be trusted, be competent. Be competent. And to be competent, you've got to be teachable, which means you've got to be humble, and you've got to keep learning. Put a mastermind group around you. Get those people involved. Call on those people. If I don't know something, I call and ask. In character, well, the guy sitting here, it is in this room recording this, had better be the same person in public. At home with my wife and kids, and then out there in public. Because the real me, as I said earlier in earlier shows, the real me is not the guy in public. The real me is the guy at home. Character. This is Dr. Rick with Live the Life, and this is Real Talk. Have a great week.
Healthy living, healthy relationships. This has been Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Feel free to let us know what's on your mind. Email us at realtalk@livethelife.org and join the conversation by liking Real Talk with Dr. Rick on Facebook. We hope you can join us next Saturday at 1:30 for another edition of Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth.